Vogel maybe getting, you know, the fall and becoming a fall guy because of the idiotic Westbrook trade. Anthony Davis putting on too much muscle then getting hurt, picking THT over Caruso, thinking DJ plus Ariza could help, prioritizing shooting over perimeter defense and free agency, a rigged cap and no trade flexibility at all. I mean, come on. These are the words of Bill Simmons, who we as Laker fans roll our eyes at. And what he's saying may have some truth to it, but we all know he's saying it from a place where he's just wanting to get on the Lakers right now. Look at your Boston Celtics, Simmons. Look at them. If you're a Laker fan and you're familiar with Bill Simmons, you know whatever he says is dumb. Most of the time when it comes to the Lakers, and it's from a place of him being biased. So we're going to talk about the stretch we just had. You know, of course, we're going to also talk about the Jazz win, which, oh, the biggest win of the season thus far, and why I was not surprised about it. We're going to get into the THT, you know, market as free agency. Oh, yeah, he's available now. You know, and we'll talk about, you know, Russ, the Russ dunk. Moving forward, can we sustain these things and much, much more here on your Laker 82-16 series. This is the Chill Bravado Podcast. I am your boy, Chill CB. What up, though? This is the Chill Bravado Podcast. I'm your boy, Chill. This is the Laker 82-16 series, where it's 82-game grind of a season we cover, and it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. But first, right after, we have a Utah victory. You know, we go out there and we prove them wrong, right? It's cool, you know? But then we get news immediately right after that, and it's stating that, oh, yeah, by the way, Vogel, his job's in serious jeopardy. Made no sense for the timing of it, but then again, anything with the Lakers really don't make sense with the reports and the sources and all these things. So we're going to talk about that, but first let's get into a recap of the game that we had against Utah. Breaking it down by quarters, you know, we hung in there tight in the first quarter, 25-24. In the first quarter, we come out and get a 28-21 advantage in the second quarter. Third quarter got us all worried and shaky. And they got 32 points in that third quarter. We only got 20. But in the fourth quarter, we brought it home, 29 points, and they had 17 points, which gives us the win of 101-95. Everybody in L.A. who's there in the area gets tacos because they scored less than 111 points and got the win. Rah, rah, rah. We cheer, we cheer. So just getting into those stats, man. I mean, of course, LeBron did his, you know, did his normal stat thing. You know, people have been talking about his stats lately. And it's kind of funny that this always comes up with him. But 25 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He had a couple threes here and there. You know, he was plus 11 if you're into those type of things. Westbrook had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. It was different at the end of this game. We're going to talk about that, but it wasn't a lot of Russ. I kept looking at the sideline like, is Russ hurt or is Russ coming back in? And if he doesn't come back in, the story that could be brewed. But he eventually came back in and scared us all. And then we praised him once again because he made that layup and didn't run out the clock. We was all like, no, no, no. Yeah. Game. Ball game. Dagger. You know, we was all excited about that. And so it's crazy how Russ will give you an emotional roller coaster all within one play. I mean, are you not entertained? Entertainment comes at sometimes the suspense of you being angry, upset, furious. But it also gives you joy, relief, and a joy, you know, and passion. You know, and so we shout out Avery Bradley. He played well at times. Dwight Howard gives us energy. Taylor Horton Tucker, who had 11 points. I was not mad at him for that. Malik Monk came out and had what I think is going to be more of a sustainable type of run for him. Just speaking of Malik Monk, did not start this game. I was fine with it, but I was thinking that Kendrick Nunn was coming back soon. So I was like, yeah, Monk can slide back into this bench role because if Nunn comes back and we want to see him get heavy minutes, but things have altered with Nunn. So I'm going to hold off on that. Austin Reeves, who just defensively, and he always gives himself a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on the box scores, only had 4 points, had 5 boards, and 1 assist, But man, that tip in when he missed this, the little floater he was doing, and he wasn't tipped it in on the fall, like that play was special. It's crazy. Guys like that who hustle, they just get rewarded by the basketball gods, man. I'm telling you. And I was praying like, God, just let it go in. And it happened. See, prayer changes things. Y'all better go to church. Wayne Ellington did not play. Bazemore did not play. I don't think Bazemore had a seat. But, hey, he's a cheerleader for us. So, let's just, you know, I'm glad he's a good teammate. Then you had DJ, of course. Old man D. Oh, DJ. Go, DJ. Stanley Johnson, I wanted to say him last because Stanley Johnson had 15 big points, 5 rebounds. Oh, yeah, he was in there. He had 2 blocks. Man, he always has like 5 fouls. He didn't foul out, but I just worry him being in the starting lineup to me always is going to make me nervous that he's going to foul out at the worst possible time because he plays so aggressive. He plays so physical down there because he's, you know, he's been asked to. And if he fouls out, I guess fine, but he hasn't yet. So keep doing your thing, man. You don't worry about those things. Just let us do that. So Stanley Johnson, who scored a lot of those buckets in that fourth quarter, was it like 10 points maybe in that fourth quarter? And they were all like these great like dribble drives or he gets the offensive board, kicks it back to LeBron, comes back around, circles back around, gets the ball, finds Avery Bradley in the corner. Bow! You know, so all this happened in this game. And then I look at Utah and Donovan Mitchell. And this is after a back-to-back. Lakers don't get that type of excuse because when we come in the back-to-back, nobody cares. We have, quote, more talent, and we have the talent to win games, which in cases we do, but we don't get the excuses that other teams get. But I think Utah is starting to slip now, so they're about to probably get the blame, and you know they're going to start talking about breaking this team up. We'll see. All right, we are back. And one of the main reasons I felt like Utah didn't strike me as, you know, I don't fear Utah in a series. And I don't fear Utah as much as I say. And the fear is not the word I want to use. Is Utah is not intimidating to me when they're not clicking, you know, because they only play one way. They're not very versatile or whatever. And, you know, we've talked about in the past versatility and how that plays a part in, you know, the way a team has success. And when Utah, if they're not hitting their threes, if they're not, you know, if Gobert is not just patrolling the whole paint, and we've seen how on their recent slide of, you know, their losing streak they had, they were really frustrated because you get to see the value of having Gobert down there. And then this game where they just really just wasn't hitting a lot of shots, like Denver just destroyed us because Denver hitting like 23s, and the young boy Bones Haylen, career day. I mean, these guys were not missing. Plus, Lakers did not have the effort in that game. They didn't bring it. LeBron had to apologize afterwards, saying we're gonna do better and all this. Not really worried about apologies. Like that means nothing because if you win this game and you go off and lose 3 more, are you going to apologize every time you lose? Like, you know, I think this right here was like a built up frustration of what has been happening. And I don't think it's chalked up the wins and losses, just the way we've been losing and the way the fans have been feeling. And Utah doesn't strike me as a team that just puts the fear of God in me if I had to play them in a playoff series. Nor does Memphis. Even though Memphis, you know, destroyed us as well, I just don't have that level of fear for them. Golden State gets my respect because they're, you know, former champions. They are a machine all in themselves. You have to give them that respect. But I think Phoenix has proven to be a team that has given us the most fits. And if you're not on your game and you don't have your chemistry, I think you are not going to beat Phoenix. Phoenix is an oil machine. Chris Paul drives that, you know, the ship. Ayton is the anchor. Booker is the captain. And then you have all the lengthy role players, the grit from annoying Jay Crowder, the length of JaVale McGee, Cam Payne, and Johnson, and Bridges. Like, so this team has everything that, as far as for the Lakers, I'm only talking from a Lakers point of view, they have everything intact to beat the Lakers if the Lakers roll into a series against them and they're just not healthy. They're not on their A game. They can even be healthy, but they're not in on their A game and the chemistry's not there and AD's not ready to dominate. We're losing to this team. Okay, and you're lucky to get two games. But when I look at Golden State, I feel like Golden State is a machine as well. But they just don't have the length and the experience that a Phoenix team has now. So I don't fear Golden State as much as Phoenix at this very moment. As we've seen, Curry has been in the slump for almost a month now since getting the three-point record. And it's not really a story because, you know, the record is going to give him the allowance of being able to have those bad games. LeBron James can't have two bad games in a row, let alone have a month, because if you do, we're talking about, oh, dethroning the king and all these things. And the Lakers are in a place where they can't afford to play like that or lose like that because the record just doesn't give you the allowance to. So credit to Golden State for coming out red hot. Curry coming out red hot. So not to knock Curry and his greatness, but Curry has the ability to or has the opportunity to have slumps. You know, LeBron does not have that same opportunity, that same pass to have a slump. So we need the guys around us to step up. And I just think AR or Hillbilly Kobe. Let's just say Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson. Those guys really play well. And they just showed that our youth, we need them. The hustle, we need that. LeBron was feeding off of that. He was getting Stanley Johnson credits, LeBron, to helping him figure out how to attack Rudy Gobert and Utah's defense. I just feel like Donovan Mitchell is just a little guard who can score. Defensively, he was a liability. He was not able to really help much out on that end. So he's only a one-way guy. And, there's no knock on him. He just got to get, you know, as he gets older, gets better. And if he's even there, you know, the rumors coming from there. And then you just look at the size of him. Royce O'Neal is probably their best defender, but even he's not somebody who the Lakers are going to fear because, who are we going to guard? Russ? Okay, cool. Well, who's going to guard LeBron? And you see, we had Rudy Gobert out of his element. He's really trying to stick over there close to LeBron as possible to cut off those driving lanes, which allowed them to be smart and just roll right to the basket. Stanley Johnson just dropping in buckets. So I just feel like Utah's lack of overwhelming athleticism gives the Lakers a chance against them. I just don't see them having the athleticism and the players to go against that force for a whole series. And not to mention if AD comes back. And we'll just see how he looks. But I just don't think Utah has that. Now, Phoenix, they have enough length and they have enough to bother LeBron and bother Westbrook. And AD will have to be the one who unlocks that game plan against them. As well as somebody is really going to have to hustle. And I feel like we have a few guys there who, like Austin Reeves and Stanley Johnson, who I'm sure is going to get a full contract. Avery Bradley's going to have the privilege of guarding and harassing either Booker or harassing Chris Paul, which I would still feel more comfortable with him getting Chris Paul. Austin Reeves, you know, going against Booker, even though he's crafting, probably going to try to draw fouls and whine or whatnot, but yeah, Phoenix is probably, as of right now, gives the most trouble. Utah, I'm not worried about. The Grizzlies, I'm just waiting for them to hit a wall, and not to say they're going to lose games in the regular season, but when it slows down and the teams can prepare for you on an every other night basis when it comes to the playoffs, I'm curious to see, can they get over that wall? I'm not saying they can't, but I'll bank on them proving it to us. They'll just have to run us out the gym, and I'll just stand up and tip my hat. So the Grizzlies and Utah, I'm not afraid to play. I'm probably more worried about Denver than the Grizzlies if we play them in a series, because Jokic is a nightmare for us all together. Like, Dwight is going to have to really, really, really be healthy and focused to bang on Jokic, not getting in the foul, get us in the bonus, and get frustrated. So it's just a lot of things looking at just the West. Utah is just not my top threat. And then as we pivot, now we're talking about trades for everybody. Because now Utah's looking, what can they do? Is Joe Ingles going to go? We're not worried about them. We worry about us. THT's market, January 15th, is now up. We are not able to trade him. But what trade value do we really have? And are we really going to get Jeremy Grant for a THT and Nunn, who we just found out, unfortunately, had another setback in his knee during the ramp up or the bone bruise? Had another setback. So now here we are again. And are we going to be able to trade? Not talking about his game, but damaged goods. Don't even like saying that. But are we going to be able to trade somebody like that? And has THT really showed us enough to say, hey, this is the best package that you're going to get, Detroit? Only thing we have banking for us is if Jeremy Grant wants to be here and he tells every other team, hey, I'm not re-signing with you. So if you get me, you're wasting your time. So that right there could scare some teams off. And the Lakers are in a position where they're like, we ain't worried about 2 years from now, a year from now. We worried about the right now. And Jeremy Grant comes off this injury, which should be soon. We had the same thing that THT had. And he would not be asked to do the things that he's asked to do in Detroit. So that fit just goes perfect with a lot of teams. I just don't think the Lakers are going to be able to get that. I know it sucks. We talk about trading THT. I'm torn. Either or, I want to see how THT reacts to being on this team, going to the play-in and playoffs. I hate to say play-in, but we have to keep that into consideration, into the play-ins and the playoffs. And let's see what can he build, some legacy moments heading into this, 21-year-old third season. Ja Morant is in his third or fourth season, so it's time for him to try to take off. He has not had the opportunity that a Ja Morant has had, so he's not going to be able to have this clear takeoff like we all hoped and wished he would. That's not how it goes. You don't play a handful of minutes and then you get out there and say, okay, I figured the game out. No, you have to get in there and let the game come to you, and then you figure it out if you get that experience. I mean, everybody's different. Some guys come in and just built different, as the quote goes. THT's trade value, I feel like, is not going to be high. I feel like there's going to be some Laker fans going to be very upset because we're going to have THT after the trade deadline. Kendrick Nunn is not going anywhere. His setback is probably going to be out to another month now. So hopefully Black History Month will be kind to him. The ancestors can look down and shower down all type of grace on his knee. And then AD is the good news. AD is coming back. How soon? We don't know. They're talking about this Grammy road trip, maybe. And I'm just looking forward to the next couple of games. I'm not going to stop trying to predict them, but I'm lying. I'm definitely going to try to predict them. So we got the Pacers coming up. Okay. As of right now, the Pacers are tonight. Then you have the Magic. Then you go to the Heat and the Nets. The Heat, who now have Bam Adebayo back. So they're going to look for revenge for their loss, but maybe is AD going to come back then? I think AD should not play these next two games. I feel like AD should come back against the Heat. And then let's get him in there. Heat, Nets, 76ers, Hornets, Hawks. All right. Bar nothing goes wrong tonight. The Pacers, we better beat them. We cannot beat the Jazz, then lose to the Pacers. Okay, so we have to beat the Pacers and the Magics. Let's get another 3-game winning streak going. And then when we get to the Heat, let's see if AD can come back, and he doesn't come back in timid. How are you feeling about him? I don't know. We're going to talk about it one more time, how we feel about the rest of the season, when I get back. All right, we are back. And these next stretch of games, this is, the Laker 82-16. We cover the games, all 82 of them. Chill Bravado Podcast, I'm your boy Chill. Go to Twitter, Chill Catch Vibes. Chill _ bruh _ catch _ vibes. Oh, no, I'm just kidding, but that's my Instagram too. So just go check me out, man, on Chill Bruh on Instagram. Chill Catch Vibes on Twitter. And we're just going to really end it off right now with this next stretch. Is also, now we find out that Vogel's in the hot seat. Now we win the game and Vogel's now in the hot seat. Which makes no sense to me, because if you drop Vogel right now, you're probably just going to move Fitzdale into the interim head coaching job, which we've seen how that went. I just don't think this is a coaching issue as much as we're going to try to, that's going to be the scapegoat. Russ is going to be the ultimate scapegoat, but you're not getting rid of Russ. Vogel, it comes out, they're saying that, Kurt Rambis wants those DJ Dwight bigger lineups played. So obviously we went away from that. So now if we play in the small ball style and Vogel has probably put his name attached to it and is gone with it, I'm just curious if it's those Rambis and those guys are saying, okay, if we start to struggle, or when we get past this trade deadline and we don't have anybody and we start losing, your job is on the line. I don't think it'll be in season, though. If the Lakers don't go deep in the playoffs, deep, meaning the finals. Vocals gone. It's not, there's no reason to hold on to him. I'm in agreement with it because unfortunately they put him in the situation. It's not even his fault. But when you're on a high caliber team with high caliber players who have the highest of highest expectations, no matter what the setback or whatever the situation is, you're going to get fired if you don't produce, no matter how unfair it is. It's coming. So we're going to have to just slow down. And listen, we're going to take this game by game. Laker 82-16. Week by week if you can't do that. So this roller coaster will continue. I'm not that confident that we're going to go and beat the Pacers and the Magics. But we have to. I'm not that confident that we're going to beat the Heat. But we need to. Just because the fan base is needing that type of victory. When we lost to Sacramento, I was saying that's a must-win game. Not for the players, not just because of the standings, but because the fans needed it. But we went out there and we laid an egg. And then we went to Denver. And that was like, I just knew that game started off wrong. I was like, this is going to be a terrible loss because everybody's going to be down in the dumps. And then, I looked and seen the Jazz come in. I was like, the Jazz, they're going to be our guy. They're going to fool's gold us, or they're going to push us into prosperity. One of the two. And it starts tonight against the Pacers. Are we going to go ahead and continue this? And we need to win with a little bit of ease, you know? We don't have to go out here and blow them out by 30. But we definitely need to be able to show we can take a team like this. And we're getting comfortable. And then we can go to the Magic, who's a young squad. We need to make sure we audition Terrence Ross well. So hopefully he'll get bought out and we can pull him in. You know, and then we'll worry about the Heat and down the road and the Nets, who are probably going to be without Kevin Durant, definitely going to be without KD. So we have another shot at them. So and then let's hope the AD is back by this time. And then let's say we get some good news on none. Like maybe, okay, things are starting to do a little better. Who knows what we're going to be getting right now, but I'm just encouraging everybody out there right now with this whole Vogel thing. Let's just back off that. We can't control that. We can't. I mean, if you want to get mad about it, go ahead. It's not going to affect us right now. We're just sitting back, really eating popcorn, watching this thing unfold. This is a movie. It's the Lake Show documentary. And we're all just feeling like we're a part of it. And I appreciate the grind. This is Laker 82-16. I am your boy CB. Chill B, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast. See you guys next time.